360's The Week That Was, the most listened to hour in Territory Radio. The Territory leaders break down this week's big issues.
Well, this morning we are coming to you live for a very special edition of 360, live from Parliament House. Now, we'll get into the weather firstly, and the top end's weather is sunny. We are expecting a top of 35 in the city, 36 in the rural area, and 38 degrees in Katherine. The Mix 104.9 sweat factor with over 46,000 listeners. You can get Mix 104.9 working for your business. The UV index is an extreme top of 11. The top end's tide times, thanks to In-N-Out Board Marine, the Quintrex 420. 20 Renegade self-isolation package. Well, you can save a bundle, get on the water and feed the family. Visit In-N-Out Board Marine today. And we're heading for a low tide, 2.1 metres at 1.10 this afternoon in Darwin right now. It's 29 degrees. It's 29 in the rural area and it's 28 degrees in Katherine. Now, it is time for the week that was, proudly brought to you by BTC Constructions. From residential, commercial to project management, they cover all aspects of constructions. And as I mentioned, we're coming to you live this morning from Parliament House because the Legislative Assembly is returning for a special session today to respond to COVID-19 public health emergency. And joining us here today, we have got the Speaker of the Northern Territory's Legislative Assembly, Kezia Purick. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Katie, and welcome to Parliament House with your team.
And Kezia, you are obviously all robed up, as you would be, or as we'd expect and anticipate from the Speaker at Parliament House.
Yes, what we do here in the Territory is at the beginning of each sitting day, myself as the Speaker and the two clerks, Clerk and Deputy Clerk, wear robes, and we wear robes for the full morning, not for the full day, thankfully. The only time we've worn the robes for the full day was when the Parliament passed, or the Assembly passed a condolence motion for the loss of the Territory people on that Malaysian air flight. And I think that was befitting, you know, out of respect for the families and the Territory connections. But it's part of the ceremony that goes with any Parliament in Australia. A lot of the speakers wear robes, some don't, and that's their choosing. So welcome to Parliament House, everyone.
Well, and it's lovely to be here, and thank you very much for having us, Kezia, and organising for us to be here this morning so that we could still have the week that was.
The week that was. But also the other interesting thing that we've done today at Parliament is some of the members are not here present because they have genuine concerns about taking infections and bugs back to their community. So I think we have five or six members, and they're on teleconference. So we've passed a motion in the Parliament to allow that to happen. So basically, with all this modern technology that we have at our disposal, they can still participate. They are still recorded as being here, and that's good. And I know it's happened elsewhere in the country in response to the challenges presented by the virus. So business as usual, but it's just in a different format.
In a little bit of a different way. Well, we are actually Facebook Live this morning as well. If you do want to check things out, if you've never been inside Parliament House and want to see how it's all sort of happening this morning, we're also joined this morning, a late ring in, Jeff Collins, the member for Fong Lim, and obviously member of Territory Alliance. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Katie.
Great to have you here, and a big welcome to Kate Warden, or I should be saying thanks for having us, really. Kate Warden, the member for Sanderson, and Government Whip.
Yeah, good morning, Katie, and I think you have to just thank the Speaker, because this is her, one of the thing conventions around this is her building.
Yep.
So she calls the shots here, and it's great to have you here. It's interesting acoustics, and hopefully everybody doesn't sort of hear all the resonating in this lovely great hall. I think we're very spoilt here in the Territory to have such a beautiful Parliament House, and it's nice to host you here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's lovely to be here. And Gary Higgins, of course, Gary, the member for Daly and the Deputy Opposition Leader. Good for you to be here as well with us this morning.
Yeah, look, that's good, Katie, and it's glad to be, I'm actually glad to be able to get out and about a bit more. But I've got a question for the Speaker, and that is that we've got these people on the telephones, and I presume they're going to have to comply with all the standing orders. So I think we need to check that they do actually have ties on today.
Check that they're dressed well enough for Parliament.
They're not wearing jeans.
Yeah. You better check out that chancy take.
Gary, that's a very good point. I will refer the matter back into the Assembly because I have been sent a photo of one of the members who shall remain nameless but is a male and very handsome.
Not dressed appropriately?
No, he does have a tie on.
Okay, but shorts maybe.
I couldn't comment.
I know Mark has a lot of respect for the Parliament, so I'm sure that, yes, he would have sent that photo
in. All right, we better get straight into it because there is so much to discuss this morning, and Parliament is obviously sitting for this special session, and it is in response to the public health emergency that is COVID-19. All legislation is going to be introduced and debated in one day to further strengthen the Northern Territory's response. But look, we obviously understand that this is an extraordinary day, but I think one of the concerns here is that there's no question time. There's a real worry from the independents and the crossbench, the opposition and Territory Alliance that, you know, that we're introducing some pretty important legislation and there's not the ability to scrutinise it in the way that one might hope.
Yeah, Katie, look, it is difficult and there's a difficult position for the government. Obviously, this legislation needs to be passed and they have the full support of Territory Alliance in passing the legislation. But, you know, we've already seen a guillotine come down this morning already. You know, there does need to be an open debate and an open discussion about what's happening so that people can have proper information. That's our job here as parliamentarians. Our job here is to actually call the government to account, to actually question what's going through the parliament so that the information can come back to our constituents and to the people of the territory. And, you know, one of the really important areas of that is question time. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the passage of the legislation. That's about a more broad questioning of the government and the scrutiny of the government. You know, we talk about our democracy. You know, one of the key elements of democracy is access to information, and that's what that is all about.
I mean, Kate, has the government got something to hide here? Why, you know, I would think that if you want to be open and accountable, you actually allow question time and allow the crossbench to be able to really question some of the things that you're doing.
Yep, I'm hearing what you're saying, Katie, but this is an extraordinary meeting of Parliament. So let me be clear that if it wasn't for the passage of this legislation, we wouldn't be meeting today. So that's really important. So we've said right from the front that this is an extraordinary meeting of Parliament. It is today we are here to pass legislation. Now, that legislation can take... We might be sitting here at 10 o'clock tonight. We started at 8.30. We usually don't start till 10. We are not planning on a lunch break. In fact, I've got the PAC meeting a bit later today, and we have got a fluid starting time on that. The PAC will meet once Parliament concludes. That might be at 10 o'clock tonight. So the whole idea today is to get three pieces of legislation. People like Gerry Wood will be in there scrutinising that legislation as he does every single sitting, and he does a great job of that. Now, he will have as much opportunity today during committee stages to look at that information and ask those questions. Today is all about protecting Territorians and making sure we've got the legislation that we can to continue what with the work that we're doing around COVID-19. It's not a normal day of Parliament, and in other jurisdictions, Katie, they've had a mixed bag. So in New South Wales, for example, they didn't have a question time either. I think we have to remember what we're here for.
Gary, do you think that that's good enough? I mean, we are talking about legislation that's going to affect every Territorian. Do you think that realistically there should have been an opportunity for people like yourself to ask questions?
Look, I think the opportunity will be there to ask questions about the legislation during the passage, or if you go into committee stage, you can ask questions about every clause that's in that legislation.
But isn't it too late once it's already enshrined?
No. Well, there's a clear distinction between the passage of the legislation and question time. They need to be separated in people's minds, and that is that the legislation can be questioned during the process of putting it through Parliament. Question time, as Jeff pointed out, is to scrutinise government in other areas. And the thing is that Kate has said it's an extraordinary day. We're under extraordinary circumstances. And the thing is, government has not been questioned in a normal sense in regard to its day-to-day activities.
Yeah.
Now, I know we also have the PAC that is going to question people around coronavirus, but it won't question things that are outside of coronavirus. People have other problems that exist that are not coronavirus related.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Gary. And I think I think the tide's starting to turn a little bit over probably the last couple of days. Where over the last few weeks, Territorians have been really very happy for the government to do exactly what's required in response to COVID-19. But they are now starting to ask a few more questions about the budget. We know that the budget's not going to be handed down in May, obviously, and we all understand that. But I think that people want to be able to have a bit of a closer look into the way in which the finances are looking, how much money is really, how much money is there, how much debt we're going into, and how we're placed for the next 4 years, given the fact that we are going to be going to the polls in August.
Yeah, I think the telling sign today during debate is going to be how many people stand up and filibuster. Now, the issue there, of course, is that you will have, in a normal debate, people want to have an opinion on a piece of legislation, and quite often the rhetoric from every person is the same. And when I first got into Parliament, I asked, well, people have already said that. Why do I need to say it? And it's to get your information or your words on the record. So people repeat each other, say they're on the record.
Yep.
That's just what politicians do.
So you're saying don't waste time.
I'm saying today, don't waste time. And the thing will be how many government people stand up and filibuster, in other words, use their full 30, 40 minutes to talk on a piece of legislation and just repeat what every other member has already said.
So you think there's more important things to really, you know, be doing than wasting that time, i.e., you know, getting a closer look at how we're tracking?
Yeah, look, I think, and if you look back at some of the history on some of the bills that have gone through this Parliament of late, every member of government has stood up and said exactly the same, and all they do is just pick on the opposition or the previous government or whatever. They need to stick to the facts about the legislation, and we would find that we wouldn't be finishing at 10 o'clock tonight. We'd be finishing at 2 o'clock this afternoon without lunch, and that would give us the opportunity to do question time.
Yeah, well, Katie, I think Gary does make a good point, and I think you'll see the Parliament taking it very seriously today. We need to get this legislation through, and we all know that three very important pieces of legislation for Territorians in such hardship. That's the whole aim of today. But I think also, as you rightly pointed out, the PAC is meeting next week. We have our first meeting today to sort of work out how we're going to work that through, and Gary's with me as a member on there, and what we will do is be planning to allow those questions to be asked next week. So there is an opportunity to ask initially, we will be confined around COVID-19. I absolutely agree.
For what period of time will they be confined to COVID-19?
I think that we'll discuss that at a meeting today. How will the PAC will proceed? I imagine if you're talking about COVID-19, those questions can be asked about what's the impact on different budgets. That's a flow-on effect for that, and that's what we expect. And that opportunity will come next week. And there's a good representation on that particular committee from everybody in the chamber. So I think that that's the time those questions will be asked, and they're important questions to be asked. And I think initially the Chief Minister, the Chief Minister's been supportive of that all along, because he wants that information on the public record.
Can you guarantee, or can the government guarantee at this point in time, that Territorians are going to get a look into the finances and into the books to see how the Northern Territory is placed ahead of the election when we talk about our budget?
I think what we'll see through the PAC is how the decisions that our government is making now are impacting the budget. Yes, I think we'll see a lot of transparency around that, Katie, and that's certainly the intent of the PAC in asking those questions next week.
So will we know what kind of debt we're in?
There are questions to ask. There's lots of questions to be asked, and as I said, I'm just the chair of the PAC. I can't speak for the members, but we will definitely sit and nut that out today.
I think the short answer to that, Katie, is quite clearly no. The pre-election fiscal outlook, which has been set aside in the last sittings, is the document that provides all of that background information for everybody leading into the election, and that's been set aside. What the PAC, as we understand it, is going to be doing, and as Gary pointed out, will be providing an opportunity to ask questions about COVID-19 related expenses. And while that's important, that is not what's the financial picture of the Northern Territory is.
Yep. We need a closer look, I think. Now, just for anybody out there listening who's wondering what the PAC is, it is obviously the Public Accounts Committee, and it is the opportunity for those, the independent opponents, the crossbench, to be able to ask questions of the government and also be able to ask questions of some of the departments as well, i.e. the police commissioner, etc., some questions about the response to COVID-19. But, Jeff, I think you make a very important point, and Gary, you did as well, where, you know, the economy and the way in which the economy has been managed over the last few years has been one of the biggest issues in the Northern Territory. Prior to COVID-19, I would say it, along with crime and a few other things, have been the big ticket items, and the way they will determine the way that a lot of people vote at the upcoming election. So I think it's incredibly important that Territorians have a really clear understanding of how the Northern Territory is placed at this point.
Can I just go back to a point that Kate made earlier about today's sitting and being an emergency sitting and being extraordinary? There's no doubt about that. That is true. But what we do need to do is take every opportunity we have as parliamentarians to ask the questions of the government and to scrutinise them. We had one day of three last month, and then the parliament was adjourned after that. So we had one day of introducing emergency legislation then, and we had another 2 days that were cut off. Now, it is quite possible that it's only going to be emergency type sitting days like this between now and the election.
Yeah,
so
which is a concern.
So we have to take those opportunities.
Kezia, I'm keen to hear your thoughts on the situation that we're in at the moment. I know that there'll be plenty of people in your electorate who've got, you know, lots of concerns, I suppose, that they want to make sure are answered before they head to the polls.
Of course, you know, as the member for Goyder, yes, I've had representations. I've had people ring me, you know, like, the electoral office is closed at the moment, but Trish and I are working from home and, you know, using technology to talk to people. But the main question that I'm getting from people of all shapes and sizes is, where's all the money coming from?
Yep.
And, you know, I had an interesting fellow, he said, well, where does government get money from? So then I had to, the best I can work out, explain where government gets money, any government in our country anyway, gets money from. But, you know, we've had the tradie scheme, we've had the 20 million, we've had the business money, I think, we've had this, we've had that, which is good. It's all good, but where is that money coming from?
I asked that exact question of both the Treasurer and also the Chief Minister this week, and didn't get an overly clear answer. I was told that there's savings in other areas, things like travel, but we're not spending $70 million on travel.
There could be, but, you know, yes, of course, departments are going to have expenditures due to COVID-19. Even the Department of Legislative Assembly, we've had some additional expenses that weren't thought of. For example, holding their sitting day on a Friday incurred extra expenses because of the timing, and that's fine. That's what should happen. But letting people know exactly what departments are doing what. The other thing is, you know, what is the NT government's bill versus the Commonwealth government's bill in regards to, say, the impacts camp? Now, we know from past, I did a question on notice to the government, and I can't recall the exact figures, but I recall that it was costing the NT government a couple of $100,000 per month to maintain the impacts workers camp as a quarantine place. Do you have the figure, Gary? No. Anyway, it worked out to be millions of dollars per year. Now, we know that we've got all these additional expenses and government's been committing and promising money, but our own source of revenue is going to be right down. Mineral royalties will be down.
Yeah.
Payroll tax will be down because, of course, businesses are shutting, and there'll be other fees and expenses that or revenue that government gets. So our coffers are going to get pretty skinny. We know that we're going to get hit badly from lack of GST revenue because whilst a lot of people bought a lot of toilet paper and tissue, we're still probably not spending as much as we would in the past. For example, travel and holidays and tourism and your auntie and your uncle coming up. So our GST revenue is going to take a big, bad hit.
It is.
And that's people's concern is you know, the government hasn't outlined exactly... I think the word is, you know, like, how do we get out of this?
We know
medically how we're going to get out of it and the management-wise, but how are we going to get out of it economically?
Yeah, I think the thing that the Speaker, and I thought she was going to bring this up, Question Time puts on the official record the responses. You're not allowed to mislead Parliament. What we know is that politicians will go out and give spin to journalists. So when you've got a question to ask...
Oh, I've never heard spin, Gary.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, like...
If I had a shot every time I heard a bit of spin, I'd be drunk every morning work, I think.
So while you do get spin in Parliament as well, but the thing is they're not allowed to mislead people. And the thing is that Question Time has that opportunity to get on the official record that is properly maintained for history's sake, you know, into the future, is to do it through Parliament. And they're on issues that are not part of COVID-19.
360's The Week That Was. for BTC Constructions.
And we are coming to you live today for a very special edition of 360, live from Parliament House, where we know that the Legislative Assembly is returning, or they've returned, for a special session to respond to the COVID-19 public health emergency. Now, I have got a text from one of our listeners that says, Katie, can you imagine any board of any company being asked to accept having no board papers, no financial statements, just the CEO and his team sitting in front of them saying, ask us questions? They would be booted out of the boardroom, but this is what the government expects us to accept in accounting for billions of dollars. It's laughable, says that texter. I want to move along, though, and talk about the situation that we're in at the moment when it does come to the coronavirus. We know that there are now 10 patients with coronavirus still here in the territory being cared for by Top End Health at the Howard Springs facility at Royal Darwin Hospital. But by and large, we are doing incredibly well here in the Northern Territory. Health authorities confirmed that 17 of the Northern Territory's 28 coronavirus cases have recovered. Now, that was as of yesterday. And as I mentioned, we know that there are still patients being cared for. But I guess the conversation really has over the last couple of days as well turned to how many days or at what point in this really difficult situation do we start to lift some of the restrictions that are in place? I put those questions to the Chief Minister on Monday. He said by the end of this month and certainly by mid-May, we'll have a much better idea of when and if we can lift some of those restrictions. But, you know, I think very often people sort of think, oh, okay, well, we can go back to a huge football game or something like that. That's not really what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is some of our businesses being able to operate again as usual, some of our, you know, children being able to do swimming training, things like that, being able to go and see your physiotherapist or your dentist. I know some of those things are still happening, but it's really those different things.
Day-to-day things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I have no issue with what the government's done. I have no issue with what the Commonwealth government's done, you know, to protect our communities and our people. And, of course, the economy is almost like collateral damage. But there has been inconsistencies, and I guess that's part of the package of responding as how governments have responded. But the one, for example, is golf courses. Now, I can go and walk around the Humpty Doo golf course with myself and with a partner or a friend, and as long as we keep distance, I can walk around the whole nine holes. But if I walk around with a stick and a ball, that's not allowed.
Yeah.
So, you know, and people have pleaded with me, you know, in regards to Humpty Doo and elsewhere and the one out Dundee, why cannot a person play by themselves? It happens in other states. I get it, the chief health officers, you know, got reasons and they're doing that. But it's some of those inconsistencies with schools. Now, I know some children in my area anyway, the parents have kept them at home and they're schooling them, but you know that they say it's okay, parents must just drop their children off and go. And yet when I asked the minister and others did about, but you're still sticking 30 kids on a bus and taking them to that school and you're still putting 1,200 students into Tamimin. Yes, they've all got measures in place. The schools are all organised. I know that, you know, and the teachers and the principals have worked hard with their councils and boards. But there's just a few inconsistencies, and I think that's where government perhaps needs to move next in regards to perhaps recreational pursuits. Like, we know that you shouldn't have more than 10 in a family gathering at home, as long as you're responsible and careful, and some eat at a wedding and some eat at a funeral. But it's those things, I think, that are confusing people. It's, well, can I have 11? You know, so it's, I think government needs to start to give some, and if we have to wait till the end of April, early May, well, so be it. But make sure that when that time comes, you give us something.
I think that it's really important for people's sort of mindset and the way that we look forward as well. And nobody's expecting that the government come mid-May announce that everything's going to reopen again. We all absolutely understand that the borders realistically need to stay closed for some time to try and avoid, you know, any spread or anybody coming into the territory with COVID-19. Kate, just on the golf, I know that you've been contacted a couple of times, as have I, about the golf.
I don't think it's a couple, actually, Katie. I think that's being a bit, I mean, I've got obviously the Darwin Golf Club in my electorate, and I will describe it as being lobbied hard. And I've asked lots of questions. I think one of the complications about golf is that the stance until last Friday which is where I saw them come out nationally and say something different. So I think we've got to be really fair here on people like the chief health officers who make decisions on the advice often with sports that they're given. And I agree there are some inconsistencies. I mean, you go around the suburbs, you might see a couple of people playing tennis. Well, they're obviously collectively touching the same tennis ball as they play. That's, to me, a higher risk than golf. But Golf Australia, until last Friday, did not support the playing of social golf. And I would like to make a distinction between social golf and pro golf here. It's social golf, which actually is, in general, people just walking singly. Mm-hmm. So I think that Kezia is right. That is probably one of the things that I certainly would like to see as a person, as a local member, lifted. But I think the words that are being used, Katie, and I think that we have to be cautious. We have had 17 people recover. That still means we've got 11 cases, I believe, here in the Northern Territory that are still with COVID-19. That's yep. really important for people to remember. We still have cases here. So I think until they've all recovered, for my mind, I feel that we've still got COVID-19 in the territory. So it'll be really good. But I think what the Chief Minister's been really clear about is that towards the end of this month, we'll be able to start planning for that. And I think conscientious, slow. Because can I just say one thing, Katie? We cannot afford what's happened in Tasmania, that we suddenly allow all the businesses to go back and all of a sudden we have an outbreak. Because then those businesses will not be able to recover twice. It's so important. We have to get this right the first time, and that's exactly what our intention is to do. And I can say our, as I mean the government.
But we have massive landmass, and we always punch well above our weight.
Yep.
And I think this is something that could... I was a great believer of good comes from bad, and this may well be one of the good things that can come out of the whole situation, that we do get a new sort of niche industry, wherever it may be, or expanding the capacity that we already have. You know, the defence people here, we've got yep. massive defence storage for their fuel. Airports have got storage, etc. But, you know, we've got an abundance of land. Maybe they should go and do a deal with the NT Airports people who, you know, open up their land. They don't get Dan Murphy there to get a fuel farm, you know? So, you know?
360's The Week That Was for BTC Constructions.
We are coming to you live today, of course, from Parliament House, where we have got special day of sittings to pass the legislation to respond to the COVID-19 health emergency. But we know it is obviously Anzac Day tomorrow. It's going to be a very different Anzac Day for so many Australians in the way in which we commemorate Anzac Day. A lot of people heading out, heading into their driveways to pay their respects.
Yep, I think, or their front gate, whatever it may be. And I actually think there'll be a lot of people who do it. I mean, they might not be there dead on 6 o'clock, but I think between 6 and 6.30, you'll see a lot of people doing whatever they want to do with their families, with candles. And I was just saying, off show, you know, just download it off Spotify, put it into a boombox, and, you know, wake up all your neighbours. But for those although bush people are awake early anyway, aren't they, Gary?
Yep, we're always awake early.
But for rural people, the village green will be open tomorrow. That's where we normally have the service, but not for a service, but just if you wish to go to the village green to lay a wreath or a book or pay your respects. So the actual flags will go up at 9 o'clock at the village green, and it'll be there from sort of 8:30 through to about midday. So if you want to toddle down, that's there. But I'm sure everyone will just do their own thing and pay their own respects.
And people are doing all sorts of things. And I think that it's actually really nice to see and hear. And we need to make sure that we do still honour those who've fallen. There's no doubt about that.
Look, there's a great internet site, Anzac Live, as one word, .com.au. And on there, it's actually got the ode and it's got the last post and everything that's there, even an imaginary candle if people haven't got their own candle. So if people actually get that for 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, they can go through the process themselves in their driveway.
And we've got on Mix 104.9, obviously, we're going to be having a whole day of different vignettes, so different stories throughout the day, and also all your Aussie music. But at 6 o'clock, obviously, we'll do, we'll have the last post and all that type of thing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to open my office tomorrow morning. My office is open. I've noticed some of the other offices are closed. It's not normally open at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning, mind you. But I think I'll open that. And I am on the highway, so people can see us going past.
Is that for the gunfire breakfast?
Sorry?
Is that for the gunfire breakfast?
Gunfire breakfast might be there too. And I think I'll FaceTime my daughter in Brisbane who's in the Air Force down there.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I think it's such an important thing that we all do. Kate, will you be standing in your driveway in the morning?
I think I might, Katie. Yeah. I think usually Gary and I join Gary down at the service that he supports out at Adelaide River, and it's always a really moving service. I would definitely miss that this year. I think it will be very different, everybody going and trudging down that road. Down to the cemetery is—it's just a poignant time. It's and in the dark, and people just walk along and in silence generally. And I will miss that this year. I know that Gary will too, and he does a great job in supporting the community out at Adelaide River to do that. I always enjoy going down that, so I will miss it. But I am going to head out. I'm hoping that. I live on Rothdale. It's no secret. I hope to see lots of residents of Rothdale Road out at 6 o'clock in the morning, and let's all join together as a community. I think that's what's, Katie, you were saying before that things have changed. I think there's some really nice things that are coming out of this, and I think tomorrow morning, as we all stand there at 6 o'clock with our, in the dark, it's dark at six, with our candles, and reflect. That's what Anzac Day is about. And we all reflect together. It will be one of those things that we'll probably make some memories tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be. I think it'll be a really nice morning. We did catch up with Rod Greenwood a little earlier in the week from the Palmerston Raiders Footy Club, and they've obviously recreated the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier out at the Palmerston Raiders ground, and people have been able to drive past and also donate to the RSL, drop a poppy in respect. It was a really nice. It was actually really nice to hear that earlier in the week and hear of some of the different ways that. People are making sure that they commemorate Anzac Day.
Yeah, look, I've already dropped. I don't put wreaths at Adelaide River. I put books for the Bachelor Area School and Adelaide River School, and I've dropped both of those down to Kamali Council. They coordinate everything, so I actually gave it to them so that they'll be handed to the school. But I was already prepared to do all that.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, if you look back at what people have been doing about religion and doing it from home, this is the same thing with Anzac Day. You know, you can actually do it from anywhere, and people need to realise that. And, we live in a great country and we owe it to these people to do it.
Yeah.
And that's just my advice to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you all so very much for having us here at Parliament House and for being part
of
the week that was. Kezia Puric, the Speaker of the Northern Territory, thank you. And we'll looking forward to, Kezia will put her robes back on, I'm sure, and get back into it afterward. Jeff Collins, the Member for Fong Lim and Member of Territory Alliance, thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And my hair, you'll notice, is recovering from the last time that I was on.
From when you shaved it. Went totally bald. It is. It's finally grown back. Good to see. Kate Warden, the Member for Sanderson and the Government Whip, good to have you here with us today.
Always great to be with you and your listeners, Katie. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, Gary Higgins, I've had a brain.
Deputy Opposition Leader, Member for Daly, the best person in Parliament. Yeah, look, I'm glad I've been able to get back out again,
That's
Katie.
That's a matter for debate, isn't it? Member for Sanderson, think, Member for Fong
I think
Lim.
Madam Speaker has got to get back into that
You're
parliament
out of order,
and check on the
Member
dress codes of some of the people that are on the phone.
Good stuff. Thank you all so very much, and a big thank you to the Speaker of the Northern Territory for allowing us to broadcast live from Parliament House this morning. You are listening to Mix 104.9, and that was The Week That Was, proudly brought to you by BTC Construction.